Amen, Father God. I just thank God for just the opportunity to bring the word. I thank God for just each and every one of you. I thank God for my beloved husband. Praise God for him. I thank God for just our pastors, Pastor Jay Johnson and Pastor T. Johnson. I thank God for Minister Staten on today, for being my armor bearer on today, for covering me on today.
Amen.
And throughout this week, I know that she's been praying for me. Thank you, Lord. I praise God for just everyone in their respectful places. The title of today's sermon is The Gospel Beyond the Margin. And so, again, the title is The Gospel Beyond the Margins, and we're going to be in the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, and we're going to be at the 8th chapter, starting with verse 26. And so, in my studying, I wanted to define margin. And so, in my studying, margins serve as boundaries. In a literal sense, a margin is the edge or boundary of a page or a space. So it's the area outside the center, not where the main content is. And if you remember in school, you not dare to write outside those margins.
Right.
They were red for a reason, because that was your stopping place, your starting and your stopping place. So in a social meaning, to be on the margins means to be pushed to the edge of society, excluded from power, resources, and belonging. Marginalized people are those often considered less important, less valued, or invisible. So our poor, our homeless, our incarcerated, people with disabilities, to be on the margin in a personal sense. Being on the margin can also describe our own experiences of isolation, of rejection, of shame, and brokenness. Those experiences move us to a place where we feel alone. It moves us to the margin. In a theological sense, the margins are often where God is most present. In a theological sense, the margins are oftentimes where God is most present. We see when Jesus meets the woman at the well that she was considered an outcast because she was a Samaritan. But we see that Jesus goes out his way so he can have an encounter with her and offers her living water, which is eternal life that would never run dry. He encounters a leper. To society, with being a leper is a disease and you are an outcast. And he is unclean and invisible, and he's an outcast, but Jesus welcomes him in. The margins, you all, are where the pain ends and where the healing begins. The margins is not only where there is change, but there is transformation. It is where you go from being invisible to being visible. It is where you once identified with the world and now you identify with Christ. It is where the gospel reaches those unclean places in your life, those places that you don't want Jesus to go, and he shows you the love of him. Jesus' ministry shows the gospel has no boundary. That the gospel has no boundaries. That he's willing to go into the places where we would consider unclean. And we're starting at verse 26. And it says that they sailed to the region of Gerasim, which is across the lake from Galilee. So if you take a moment, I want to pause right there, because if you go back and read the verses before that, it is where the disciples, they were in a storm. So prior before the storm, Jesus had told the disciples that we need to go across the way. And so when they go across, when they step inside of the boat, the storm comes and Jesus is asleep and the disciples are in the frantic, like we all, when things come our way and things begin to hit us out of nowhere. And the disciples said, Jesus, get up. You want us to drown? You want us to die? And Jesus said, where is your faith? It's like, I'm here. I'm in the boat with you. And that is many of us, and that's not my sermon, but it's like that's many of us many times is Jesus is right there, and we go into a frantic. And we go and we begin to go down this rabbit hole of Jesus, if you was here, and Jesus, he said that he's right here. But the thing is, Jesus is so intentional with everything that he does. So it wasn't just going over on the other side just because. He had a mission that he wanted to accomplish. He took the disciples over to the other side because he wanted them to be a witness to what could not do, what could be done not only in the Jewish territory, but also in the Gentile as well. What you're going to see and what you're going to read and what I'm going to begin to talk about is that the fact that Jesus goes across the other side and he steps into the Gentile territory. And if you know anything about Gentiles, they are people who were not Jews and they were considered unclean. They were considered unclean. They when it came to pigs and those things like that, that was in the book of not to deal with those type of people. But although the Gentiles were considered unclean, they were not beyond the reach of the gospel. And so although there's things in your life that you may still consider unclean or things in your life that you want God to fix up for you, that you are not too far from reach of the gospel. Amen. That he is, that God has come to fulfill the law, because the law told them that they should not associate with those type of people. But you're going to see that Jesus came to fulfill the law, that everyone is included. No one is excluded from receiving the gospel. Just like what he did for the woman at the well, the tax collectors, the lepers, Jesus is about to show up for this man. A man that has been marginalized by his community. A man that has been outcast. A man that lives among the tombs. And verse 27 says, when Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. What happened at the meeting? What happened at the meeting? That day was the day that it was the man's meeting, and he probably didn't even know. Amen. That he doesn't even know that his whole life is about to be transformed. That day was his day. And so that day was his day, that the Lord was, that Jesus was about to come into his life and to restore everything that he felt was lost, to restore him back into community. That was his day. And it says, for a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. Verse 28 says that when he saw Jesus, he cried out. And if I go to, if you read when I was comparing the different gospels, when I went to the Gospel of Mark, the Gospel of Mark says that he cried out day and night. That he cried out day and night. And see, the thing about Jesus, like, he's very intentional that he already knew when he told the disciples, we're going over to the other side. He already had a plan because he already heard the cry of the demon-possessed man, just like he heard your cry, just like he came to see about you. And that's what the gospel does. The gospel responds when you cry out. And that's what the gospel did. That's what the love of Jesus did for this man. Day and night, this man was being tormented by this spirit. Day and night, before some of us came to Christ, we were tormented. We were separated. We were living among the dead. We were lost. We were confused. We were naked. Hallelujah. And fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, what do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High? God, I beg you, don't torture me. And that's the thing about Jesus, that Jesus did not turn away from the man. He did not say to the disciples, let's go back in a boat. Like, I'm not doing this today. He did not rebuke him for even being possessed. And that's the thing about it, that when he comes, when he responds, he doesn't even rebuke us for the sin that we have done. But you see that he responds. He responds to the crying out. The gospel responds to the need that you have. Amen. And it says, for Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man. Because many times it had seized him. And though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, it had broken his chains and had been driven by the demons into solitary places. What feels like the end for this man, what feels like there's no turning back, is only the beginning of what Jesus is about to do in his life.
Yeah.
I know many of us can testify that we have gotten to that point. We feel like we were at our wit's end, that we didn't know that it was basically like death was possibly the next thing that could just happen to us. But the thing about it, the thing about the gospel is that it meets you at that point and it tells you that your life is not over. That it tells you that Jesus loves you, that he died on the cross for you, that you can be restored with him, that it's not the end. It's only the beginning of what he's going to do and where he's going to take you and how he's going to use you and how you're going to be a testament of what he has done in your life.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Like all of us before the gospel, before we got saved, if you think back, hallelujah, where you were before you experienced the love of Jesus, we lived among the tombs. Hallelujah. We were out in the world doing what we do. And some of us didn't even have no clue that we was going, that the wages of sin was death, that we were just knocking on death's doors. We were naked. We had no covering. We had no covering because the thing about the enemy, he wants to separate you, but he ain't going to take up for you. He ain't going to come to your rescue. He's not going to come to your rescue. As we were studying in the small group about Adam and Eve, soon as he deceived Eve and Eve fell for it, when God asked where they were, the enemy did not come up and say, I deceived. He was nowhere to be found.
Amen.
And that's what he does. He separates us with no covering.
Amen.
It was the effects of sin that caused us to be in this place. Some of us, we're still bounded by hurt, by shame, by abandonment. And God is saying that his gospel, he goes into those places. He goes into those places, and in those places where we feel those things, that he provides you with love and he sheds light on those places that you no longer have to be in a dark place. The scripture says that the demon would have driven him into solitary places. That's a separation that the enemy wants to have. He wants to continue to have us separated. He wants to place us in those places where we feel all alone. So he begins to plant those seeds that you cannot be restored, that God cannot do anything with you. Lord, that you are a failure, that you're never going to make it, that you're never going to amount to nothing. But you see that the gospel goes beyond the margins, that the gospel comes to kill, the gospel comes to heal.
Yes, 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 yes. Amen, amen.
It comes to kill those thoughts too.
Glory, glory.
And that's what the gospel is doing for this man, this demon-possessed man, this man that his community has exiled him. And it's crazy because the Jewish people seen this community as being unclean. So the community was already on the margins. And then within the community, you want to exile somebody else, and you already, the people don't even deal with you anyway. That's crazy. That's crazy. But we see the gospel. We see the love of Jesus. We see that God is very intentional when he does the things that he does, that you're not sitting in this very seat by coincidence, that you're sitting in this seat because someone encountered you, someone God allowed paths to cross, so therefore you can be in this seat at this very moment. God is intentional. And verse 30 said that Jesus asked him, "What is your name? What is your name?" If someone asked, "What is your name? What do you identify by?" He says, "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him. And they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. The man identified himself with the demons that troubled him. And so during my research, legion is a Roman term indicating that the man was possessed with a vast number of spirits. A vast number of spirits. The demons were well aware, and you can see in these verses that the demons were well aware of the power of Jesus. Amen. And see, the gospel, it's powerful because the demons were well aware, because they know that when they come face to face, toe to toe, they know they gotta bow. Yeah. They know they can't stand up against who Jesus is. Amen. And that's the same thing with the gospel. And that's what Jesus has done in our lives, is that he has came in with the gospel, the power of the gospel, to begin to transform, because he's saying the gospel can't go toe to toe with those demons that you're facing. Because the thing is, we may not feel like we are possessed with spirits, but there are things that has had a hold on us. There's things that have caused us to go into isolation. There's things that we have encountered in our lives that have not had us in our right mind.
Amen.
And see, the authority of the gospel says that you're going to have to bow down. You're going to have to flee, that you cannot hold my daughter or my son any longer. That's what you see. Hallelujah. And the thing is, because they didn't want to go to abyss. They didn't want to go there because they knew that was the final place for them. So the thing is, they wanted to go into they wanted to hop into someone, and they wanted to basically continue to live. They wanted to continue to live, because then when you go into Revelation, it talks about that God having the final say over Satan, over sin. So they knew that if Jesus sent them there, they knew that their life would be over. So just like anything that we encounter, it just wants to go from place to place. Want to go from place to place. But we see that Jesus' power is emphasized in these verses. There is nothing more powerful, no matter what you go through, no matter the stronghold you feel like you can't let go of, there is nothing more powerful than the authority and the power that Jesus has. He has complete authority over everything, not some things, not one thing, but he has complete authority over everything. Nothing can take you out the palm of his hand. There was nothing that those demons could do to stop Jesus from curing this man. There was nothing, not even the storm. Because if you go back, the storm tried to take the disciples out. Not even a storm in your life can stop Jesus from what he's trying to do in your life. Nothing could stop Jesus from doing what he came to do. And the people that we're going to be a witness to encounter. Because the thing is, it's not about you. It's about Jesus. It's about the fact that Jesus has a mission that he wants to accomplish in your life. That it wasn't in that very moment. Like, it was more, yes, the man is going to be cured of the demon possession, but it's the after fact. It's the fact that he's going to go and he's going to be a witness. He's going to go. So it's not about you. It's about Jesus. It's the fact that Jesus is going to get the glory for all what he has done in your life. For all the places that he went in and you thought that no one could come in and cure and take care of and see about, that Jesus has done that and he wants us to be a witness. And when those tending the pig saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and the countryside. And on now sitting at Jesus. So you got to remember at the beginning, hallelujah, that he was naked. He was dressed in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave because they were overcome with fear. So he got in his boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So that the man went away and told all over the town how much Jesus had done for him. This will be an opportunity to expand the gospel, not only to the Jews, but to the Gentiles. This is a foreshadow of the move that will happen in the book of Acts. When Jesus says, go and make disciples. When Jesus said, tell the gospel to all nations. Yeah, yeah. You see the intentionality. So you see that when God entered into this man's life, when God met him, that he was there with a purpose, that he was there to place them and clothe them in his right mind so that he could be a testimony to someone else, that he can go into the Gentile, because like I told you before, they were excluded from the Jews. And so God is saying that this gospel is for everyone. This gospel is for everyone. This anybody can encounter this gospel. A new identity is given to the man. So I ask you, what is your name? A new identity was given to the man. What he once identified with no longer owned him. So you no longer have to identify with the things that you once did, because you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. When he was once naked, he has now been clothed in his right mind. Where he was once wild and could not be restrained, he is now sitting at the foot of Jesus, resting. He's now resting, because when those spears and when those things have us, there's no rest. There's no peace. But the gospel, when it enters into your life, when you allow it to do what it's supposed to do, there is rest. There is peace that surpasses all understanding. Where sin once separated him from the love of God, he has now been united with Jesus. That is love. That is the gospel, that no matter how far past the margins that you are, you think you are, that God will reach you there. That God will come after you and reach you and love you and care for you and change your identity and let you know that you are now adopted into his family, that you are now a child of God. He will bring you into the center of his love, where you once felt like an outcast, where you once felt like you didn't belong, where you once felt like you was abandoned and rejected. His love will be there. And I'm reminded again in the small group that I do the first and third Wednesdays, we talked about Adam and Eve, and I said, Lord, I'm grateful how these things are coming together, because when you read in chapter 3, when they sinned, Adam and Eve clothed themselves. They clothed themselves with fig leaves. And this past Wednesday, we were able to break that apart. And then when you begin to read further on down, it says, God clothed them. He clothed them in garments of skin. And so I'm reminded that with the gospel, that's the same thing, that God is wanting to clothe us. That he's wanting to clothe us with the garments of skin, that he's wanting to clothe us with righteousness. He wants to clothe us in our right mind, that we no longer have to stay in the place that we once was. We no longer have to cover our shame with fig leaves. We no longer have to cover our rejection with fig leaves, because we talked about the durability of the fig leaves. They're going to eventually break. That there's, it's a lot that they don't withhold the season. But the thing about God and the thing about the clothing and the right mind, that for that man, that seasons, different seasons are going to come, but he's going to be reminded that of what Jesus done has done for him, that therefore when the seasons come, he may sway, the wind may sway him back, but he's going to be solid on a firm foundation, because he know who came and rescued him. He know who came and cured him. He know it was nobody but Jesus.
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Nobody but Jesus.
And that's what the gospel does.
Hallelujah.
From the very beginning.
Hallelujah.
From the very beginning, Jesus had a plan.
Yes.
From the very beginning, God had a plan.
Glory, glory, glory.
From the very beginning, when there was the, when deception took place and separation took place, that God had a plan to clothe us. That God had a plan to be there with us. That God had a plan to never leave us nor forsake us. That God had a plan for whatever thing that you have going on in your life. God had a plan for that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that is the gospel. And when we see the feet of the gospel in Jesus, that he loves and he cares and he goes into those areas. He goes into those areas that you can trust that he will see about you. And I thank God just for last night, because when I am asked to speak, it, you know, things are going, that it's just a work in progress for me. So I just be like, Lord, you know, I feel like you gave me this. So I just asked like for confirmation. And so after we left Putt-Putt Fun Park, Alton and I went over to Walmart. And so as soon as we pull up in the parking lot, we see that there is a homeless woman. She is laying down at where the carts are. And so instantly I'm like, Lord, you are confirming. I thank you for confirming the sermon. I thank you for confirming what you have told to me. Because of the fact that we often, when God gave me this message, and it was very tough, because you can always just make it about you. But God was also showing me that it's not just about us and the gospel for us, but it's the gospel for them too. It's the gospel for the homeless. The gospel is for the poor. The gospel is for those that who are incarcerated. And we may not encounter them on an everyday basis, so we just think about the people that we see. But when I think about when we go downtown and we run and we see the homeless people, they are laying on the benches. The gospel is for them as well. And it opened my perspective. It opened my eyes and my perspective, and it challenged me. And so it was, while we were in Walmart, I couldn't stop thinking about it. We came outside. And I wanted, and I was just telling Elton, I'm like, you have to practice what you preach. And I dare not stand up in front of you all and tell you all that God is calling and challenging you all to go into areas that may not be the what you deem is safe. Going, that he's challenging us to go into those unclean areas to spread the gospel, when he does not present the opportunity for me and I don't take it. And so we came out of Walmart, and I went over to her, and I said that Jesus, he loves you, and that he cares for you. And she just responded, thank you. And in that moment, I felt like I could say more, but that's the gospel. The gospel is that he loves. The gospel is that he cares. And that in that moment that I pray that she remembers that. That she remembers that somebody came to her and told her and reminded of her of who Jesus is. And when Alton and I got in that car, we said, you know, we tend to give them money. And I said, we don't even have to work. Let's not focus on the fact, you know, you give them money. So we just pray against they use it for drugs or whatever you feel like they're going to use it for. But Alton said, what you did was worth far more than money could ever do for her. It was worth far much more than what the money could do. So on today, God is challenging us, and he is calling us to be the hands and the feet of him, to take the gospel into places and to people that we consider to be unclean. The gospel is for everyone. Amen. 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 Amen.